At the time of Mohammed's death, all of Arabia was united in one religion, believing in this new religion that he taught. Now, after he died, there was rivalry between two different factions of exactly who should become the leader of the people. As we see now, the leader of the people, the religious leader of the people, was also the ruler over the people. They were all in one. So now the question was, who exactly should be in control? And the rivalry revolved around his father-in-law and a grandson. And this rivalry remains until today. His grandson, Ali, was his name. So from them we have the Shiites. And from his father-in-law, from them we have more or less all of the other Arabs that exist till today. And of course, this is not exactly as we're saying it over, but more or less that's the way it was. There was a lot of different methods that were used in the competition between the two. Not just then, but in the groups that followed them in the next generation and in the following generations following that, where they used methods of execution in order to decide who should be the leader of the people. And it was because of this that there is a tremendous hatred between the two as time went on. And as we go on, we'll explain in which way they sort of spread from each other. They faced a problem. All of Arabia was now under one religion. There was a population explosion that took place in Arabia. But they had, as we mentioned in the past, when people lost their livelihood living in the desert, in order to recoup what they were missing, they would steal from each other, they would murder each other. But now Mohammed taught that you couldn't steal, you couldn't murder. So what are they going to do for a livelihood? This became a problem. There also became other problems that were there. There were other people that sprung up at that time, and they said, well, Mohammed said that he was the last prophet, and therefore we have to follow him. Well, I'm even after him, and I'm also a prophet, and you got to follow me. So things were sort of getting out of hand, and they needed a cause. They needed a cause in order to have a reason for the religion to be able to continue, and they also needed a cause in order to find a way for the people to be able to live. And so therefore, they came out to this plan. Mohammed taught that you couldn't steal from each other, you couldn't murder each other. But for the infidels, for those people who didn't believe, from those people you are allowed to steal and you are allowed to murder. So they're going to go on, and also there was a mandate from Mohammed that you have to spread the religion throughout the world. So they're going to get out of Arabia, they're going to go into different parts of the world. There they're going to find people that didn't believe. So in the campaign of getting these people to convert, well, they'll try to get them to convert, but until they convert, they're allowed to kill them, they're allowed to steal from them, they're allowed to take over their wealth. So therefore, a decision was made to leave the Arabian Peninsula and to go out into the world to convert the people in the world, but perhaps even more important was to look for wealth, physical wealth, in the rest of the world that they should be able to exist. And so they left the Arabian Peninsula and they went to conquer the different countries that were out there. And now they were united. They had a united army under a united religion. And they went out of Arabia and they went from country to country, especially at that time that was around them. And they were somehow able to conquer the different countries. They went into Syria, they went into Egypt, they went into Persia and Iraq, they went into Eretz Yisrael, and they were able to conquer the different countries, and by doing that, they were able to exist. How they were able to be so successful, the truth is the historians themselves don't understand it that well. Basically, what was going on then was that at that time, when the Arabs went from the Arabian Peninsula, went out into the world, they found a world that basically was broken down into two different camps. There was the Christian Empire, or the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire was divided up into two different groups. There were the Romans, the Christian Romans, the Roman Empire that was centered in Italy, and then there was the Byzantine Empire, closer for them to home, that was centered in the city of Constantinople, which was found in Turkey. They were the Christians, and they were doing battle constantly for many, many years, doing battle against the Persians. The Persians, once again, is, we understand this is the east of the Byzantine Empire. And because of the battle that was constantly going on between the Byzantines and the Persians, both of those empires were weakened as a result of the battles that they had with each other. At the same time, the Arabs, as we mentioned, were united, and they had a cause, a very definite cause. The cause was survival when they went to do battle with them. And that is the only way we have to explain how they were able to be so successful. At the same time, we must understand that they're coming out into the world and coming out into the known world for that period of time was a tremendous yeshua for Klal Yisrael. And the reason for this was because the Byzantine Empire had many, was a tremendous anti-Semitic empire, as cruel b'derech klal that the followers of Yeshua HaNetzri were to the Jews, and that included the Roman Empire, but the Byzantine Empire was by far to an extreme. It was under the Byzantines, for instance, that we initiated the Tefillah of Shema Yisrael to be put into Kedusha by Musaf, because they wouldn't allow us to come together to say Shema Yisrael. It was in the time of the Byzantine Empire that it was instituted to say the Yitzhak by davening, where you have Yom Tovim and you have the different halachas. And the reason for this was is because they wouldn't allow us to teach Torah. So they had to sort of see to it that when people came together to daven, they shouldn't notice it, but to find a way to be able to teach the halachas to the different people. There was tremendous redifas and pogroms that took place under the Byzantines. And the Emes HaDvarim was that although for hundreds of years we lived in peace in Persia, and it was in Persia that we went in approximately the year 300 in order to put together the Talmud Bavli, we went there once again because the Byzantines gave us such tzaras that, and they were then in control of Eretz Yisrael. So we had to leave Eretz Yisrael. We ran to Bavel. It was in that time that we left Eretz Yisrael that there was, that the Talmud Yerushalmi was sort of came to an end, came to a close. That was in the time of Rabbi Yochanan. The Chachamim all ran to Persia, because Persia was a place, Persia, Bavel, was a place where Yidden were able to live in peace. And there all of the Chachamim came together, and they put together the Talmud Bavli. But right after the Talmud Bavli was finished, and we're now talking about approximately the year 600, and the Rabbanan Savroim were finishing off the Talmud Bavli, Tzoras started in Bavel also. And so now there were pogroms, and there were redifas against Yidden, and against Limud HaTorah, not just against Yidden physically, but against Limud HaTorah that was taking place in every part of the known world at that time, in the Christian world, and now even in Bavel, where normally the Yidden lived in peace. And Yidden were wondering, and once again we have a Masorah, that there's always going to be a place where Yidden are going to be able to live and are going to be able to practice our emunah and live in peace. Where is that place going to be? It seems like the whole world is sort of closing in on us. It was exactly at that time that the Arabs came out of the Arabian Peninsula, came to conquer the world, and when they went on this campaign to conquer the world, the people that they befriended before anybody else, strange as it may seem, were the Yid. The best way to explain how it became that the Arabs got together with the Yidden, and the Yidden were able to live in peace and in harmony, relative harmony, let's call it, amongst the Arabs, was because when the Arabs went and conquered the different cities, they realized that they really had no experience in ruling over these cities, running a government. They didn't know what it was like to have a government. They didn't know what it meant to be the Secretary of Treasury. They never had a treasury. So who now is going to help them into running the different cities? They set up a garrison, sort of an old, you know, a place where they all lived outside the city. They didn't want to go into the cities itself. So now, who are going to be the ones that are going to the actual running of the cities? They didn't trust the Christians because the Christians were their competition, so to say. The Jews weren't their competition, and so therefore the Jews were chosen often to be the ones that should be in charge of the different cities. Once again, they needed money, so they set up a poll tax based on the land. If you owned land, so you had to pay taxes to the Arabs that have conquered the different areas. The only way you could out of paying the poll tax was to become a Muslim. So there were many different Christians that converted to Islam as a result. But the Eden, of course, were not going to do that. So what they did was they sold their land and they went into something else. Now, what did they go into? Well, the Arabs conquering different cities, different countries, decided that now they were in a position to trade between the different countries. They can go into international trade. And the ones that were best able to help them get involved in international trade were the Jews. And the reason for this is very simple. Because one of the problems of dealing internationally between different countries is there's a language barrier. Well, of course, amongst Eden, there's never a language barrier. There's one language, no matter what, that we can always speak with each other, and that, of course, is Lashon Kodesh. Perhaps even more important than that, one of the issues that there is that what do you do if you have a conflict with a person in a different country? Well, you can't take him to court because you're in this country and he's in a different country. So you're going to take him to court in this country. He's not even here, and this country has no control over a different country. But amongst Yidden, there was no such problem because the Beis Din that's here, of course, was able to contact the Beis Din that's there, wherever there was, and the law that governed the land here, as far as the Eden was concerned, was the same law that governed the Eden someplace else. So the Rabbanim over here can always contact the Rabbanim over there in order to see to it that the halacha was kept. And so therefore Yidden were able to get into international trade. And perhaps the main reason was that we weren't afraid or reluctant to trade with Yidden in different countries. Well, there's the Chayit, so we're not afraid that he's going to steal from us or he's going to cheat us in some way because he's a Yid. So therefore, we were able to go into international trade, and the Arabs made it much simpler to go into international trade because they came up with a unified monetary system. So the money, they made it into Arab money, so to say. So there was one monetary system that was able to be used between country and country. Another thing that the Arabs did was that because they wanted to trade between different countries, they built roads and ways to travel from country to country. Now, building roads is not just a question of putting down the bricks, but you also have to see to it that the roads are safe in order for people to be willing to carry their products from country to country. And so therefore, the Arabs got involved in safety, policing the areas, the travel between countries. They also saw to it, once again, that it should be possible by having one type of money to be able to trade between countries. And so therefore the Eden were able to get very much involved with the Arabs. Now, We understand the Arabs had a mandate. Their mandate was to convert everybody to Islam. But they ran into a catch-22 problem, because if you convert everybody into Islam, so then who are you going to tax? You can't tax the people from the same religion. You got to tax the people in the other religion. So this is sort of a problem that they were facing. Which way should they go? So they were lax on the idea of forcing people to convert to their religion. Let's keep them out of their religion, and that way we could become wealthy. And wealthy they became. They moved eventually over the years. They moved the capital out of Mecca, and they moved it first to Damascus. And from Damascus, they finally went to Baghdad. Baghdad was the crossroads of the world. And some of us are familiar with all the different storybooks that we have in the secular world that talk about what went on in Baghdad, the Arabian Nights, and all the different stories, the wealth that was there by the leaders of this government, but also of this religion. The wealth that they had, which came about because of everything, all the trading that went on, it became a center of the world. People came there from all over the world to trade, and at the same time they came there to build their wealth and to bring their influence into this world. And so the Arabs, with the help of the Jews, sort of worked their way up into the top of the totem pole. This, of course, aggravated the other sect of Islam that we discussed before, because there was an issue, first of all, that they had something on these other people, that this is not what Muhammad wanted us to do. We're supposed to live a spiritual life. We're not supposed to live such a wealthy type of a life. There was also, I imagine, a question of why should you be the head? Those who felt that Ali, the grandson of Muhammad, he was supposed to be the leader, so he should be the head, and if he would have been the head, his children would have been the head, and then we would have been the head, and so forth and so on. So there was always this animosity between these two camps, that in one hand they claimed that the others were going away from the true belief of Muhammad, but of course there was an issue of jealousy of why the wealth was in their hands. There also was a practical issue that came up. Ultimately, they found reason to put all the different versions of the Quran into one form. They found all these different versions. So they forced on the people to accept the one version of the Quran, and the Shiites, what we call today the Shiites, the followers of Ali, were very resentful to the fact that this version of the Quran was the one that was accepted.